Alrighty, why don't we come in and take our seat. Deanna, where are you going? I've got the mic now. Take your seat. We're a chatty church. We always like fellowship, which is why there's so much going on in our church. And we will get a flyer out to you next week with all the events. But Taylor always has everything up on socials as well, so make sure you give it a like and a follow. Did you see that? I don't know. I don't know the lingo. Now, if you don't know me, I'm Skye Burcham, that one's wife. I also do the missions in this church, and I am not the pastor of this church. These are our pastors here, Pastor Elton, Pastor Lisa over here. And Pastor Lisa is known for coming up here and redoing announcements, and she can't be here today, so she gave me some to redo. So, just quickly, if you don't know what table dinners are, also, what's her face? I'm offended by that. The reason he did that is because one day he got up here and forgot my name. I know, which is unfortunate, but I am his favourite, so it's okay. Is this really, like, feedbacky and loud? I just keep going? All right. Anyway, so table dinners. If you don't know what table dinners are, there are community dinners that we do during the school term every fortnight. So we are back this Tuesday. Everyone is welcome from 5 to 7. It's a free dinner. We just come together. We have dinner, dessert, and it's a great time. So if you would like to come along to that, make sure you do it. But we are up to our third week of our new series called Reshape, Redefine, and Reimagine. Is this sounding better? Less feedbacky? Okay, it still sounds really loud. I'm not going to stay here. I'm a walker when I speak, so it'll be fine. If we have to change mics, that's fine. All right, so we are, yes, as I said, we're up to our third week of our series, Reshape, Redefine, and Reimagine, and we've been speaking from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's really exciting. We had Pastor Elton last week who got up here and spoke a little bit about his journey with this and his journey with pride and how God was reshaping him for this new season. And it was a really raw message, and I encourage you to go back if you weren't here and have a listen to that, because there's so much that you can take from it, and it's one of those messages you can listen to again and again and take something else from it. But what I loved is, and he didn't even point it out because he's humble these days, but he's so nice. I'm not going into that. No, he is. We've got very humble pastors, and part of this year has been about transformation, and we've gone into transformation beyond ourselves and what that looks like. And part of his transformation with his new job is actually to benefit us, because he gets to work for the church part-time, and that is for our church and for our congregation. And so that's what transformation in himself and beyond himself for the church looks like. And that really encouraged me. And I'm so excited for what's going on in this church and how this is looking. But also something that happened last week that was a bit uncomfortable was the power went out. So if you were here last week, the power went out before service. So the band had finished practicing and they'd rehearsed, and we'd had our meeting, or about to have our meeting, and it was like 20 to 10, and the power just went out. And we're in Langford, so we're like, oh, this happens. Like, it's happened before. I've spoken without power before. So we're like, this is cool. Like, this can work really well. Elton was actually pumped to speak with no power. The band was like, they rejigged and they're ready to go. And we're like, yeah, no, this is going to be great. And then we're starting service. And the power came back on. Even though we were told it wasn't coming back on till 4 that afternoon, the power came back on. And then it's a bit silly if you don't use the power that you have. So you go back to the original service, and we did it, and it was still powerful. It was going to be powerful no matter what, because it was that kind of a message, it was that kind of a sermon. So it was still powerful. But what it did in that moment for me was it made me just stop and think about what happens if this all goes away? And I'm not talking just power. I'm talking everything. What happens if this all goes away? What would it look like then? What would our journey with God look like then? If there was no more building, no more coffee in the morning with our friends, no more pastors, no more church, how would our journey with God look like then? What is it that defines us? And that's what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. What it is that defines us, and what is it that motivates us? What's in our heart? So why don't we just pray for this message as we get into it? God, thank you so much that we can come together and we can hear your word, God. First and foremost, we're just thankful for you, God. We're just thankful that we can come here and that we can be together and worship you. But God, as we hear your words, I just pray that we would be open to examining our motives. We'd be open to examining how we can redefine the way that we worship you and follow you, God, and our devotions to you, God. So I just pray that you would be open. We be open as we speak and as we hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to just echo what Elton said last week, that this message did come together quite easily. However, I feel nervous to speak it, which I'm not usually anymore. And it's because it's not a message that's like, you're amazing, you're going to go out and, you know, preach to the nations, although I believe that you can. And that's in all of us, and being a witness to everyone is in everyone. But it's more about examining our hearts, examining our motives. And it's a message that we all need to hear, but not necessarily want to hear at times. And so it's hard. So thank you for that, Pastor Lisa. Thank you for these scriptures. But I'm going to echo what Elton said, that it's God's word. If you don't like it, speak to him. Don't come to me. Okay? Because, and you'll get what I'm talking about in a second. My scriptures are coming from Matthew 6, 1 to 18. And it is an instruction to us in how we devote ourselves to God. Okay? Now, this is a long scripture. So 1 to 18, it's quite lengthy. So I am not going to read the whole thing, because you could preach on every single verse for weeks on end. And I've got, you know, my 30 minutes, okay? So I'm only pulling a little bit out of this. But in it, there's the Lord's Prayer. There's instructions in how we approach fasting, how we approach praying, and so on. So my encouragement is for you to study this in your own time, because God will speak to you through all of this. So go and do that. But this is the abridged version, okay? So as I'm speaking this, I'm speaking an abridged version of what I've taken little bits out of. So just know that as I speak it, okay? So from 1 to 18, here's a condensed version. Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly so everyone can see them. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, because your Father, who sees everything..." So let me just go back. You'll notice it says a lot, don't be like the hypocrites, don't do as the hypocrites do. We're going to come to that. We're going to speak about that word and the use of that word. But he says, when you approach these things, when you approach prayer, when you approach fasting, do so in private, and your Father who sees you will reward you in heaven. And so that's what we're speaking about today, this need to be seen, this need to have the approval of others. And it's something that, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there. We've all had this need to be seen by people, this need for approval. An example of this is the man flu. So I'm speaking to the men for a moment. When my husband, who I love dearly, is unwell, everyone knows about it. And he'll tell you himself that when he's sick, it's worse than you could ever imagine. It's worse than I get sick. If we've got the same sickness, he feels it worse. He'll tell you. Look at him. He's shaking his head. No, he's nodding his head. Because he feels it worse than anyone. And I feel like it's a man thing. They just must feel pain more deeply than us. And he doesn't suffer in silence, like they say, but he tosses and he turns and sighs. So if he's not getting sleep, neither are you, right? You need to be said. Lisa's like, amen, sister. Pipe down, you. But it's this need to feel sorry for me because I'm going through pain. And it's something that we learn from a young age, right? We all know kids. If you know my daughter, if you've got any kind of like close-ish relationship with her, she's asked you to watch her before. It's like, auntie or uncle or mom, dad, look at me. All kids do it. Look at me, look at me. And then they'll do something just ridiculous. I'm sure everyone's seen my daughter do a cartwheel once in your life because she wants people to see her doing it. And kids, they like jump a little bit off the air and you're like, yay. But we encourage this. We encourage children to seek our approval, to have this need to be seen. And as we grow up, I'm not using my notes enough. It keeps shutting down on me. As we grow up, it's still there. It just looks different, okay? And in this society that we're currently in, we've got so much that is shown, so much that is seen and posted on social media that there's this innate need in so many people in society today, this innate need to be seen. And we get to a point where we're watching the most ridiculous things of people. What they've eaten for the day. Their 9 to 5 or their 5 to 9 before their 9 to 5. And we're watching people just get ready for things. And we are seeing, they're laughing because they're a part of it. This is that generation. I'm not immune to it though. Some of the people I follow on Instagram, I was like really questioning myself this week. Like, why am I following this person and watching them get ready and I don't even know them? Because we have this thing where we're posting and doing everything, and we've come to this point in our life where we're not able to distinguish what is real with the real. See what I did there? I'm not a big social media person, but you get it, yeah? Because when we're posting our best angle, we're posting our highlight reel, we're posting all the good things in our life. And when we're approaching our spirituality, sometimes it can creep into that we show up to church and we want to be seen as this perfect Christian. We want to be seen as, you know, we're doing all the right things. We're saying all the right things. But Jesus doesn't want us. He doesn't call us to come here as the perfect Christian. But he calls us to come and to lay our sins at the altar and to do our devotions to him in quiet and to not have those things seen. And this is what these scriptures are about. It's saying that when you are praying, you don't need to pray so spiritually, look at me, look how good I am, look what I know. Or when you're fasting, it says, don't go, oh, like, so hungry, look what I'm doing, I'm so spiritual. It is saying to keep these things as a devotion to God. And it's not saying to hide your Christianity, because we went in the previous verse, it's saying, let your light shine. You are the salt of the earth. So it's not to hide your Christianity, but it's to check your motives. And that's what we're speaking about today, is to check your motives of why you're doing the things you're doing. Why do you want to be seen? Why is it that you're praying like that? Is it because you're devoting yourself to God? Or is it because you want other people to see what a good Christian you are? I know this sounds really harsh as I'm saying it, but this is the stuff that I've been churning in my brain this week. So my question is, who are we doing it for? Because Jesus wants us to examine. There is a difference between what we show the world and what's truly in our hearts. And we'll notice in these scriptures, I said we'll come back to this, the word hypocrite comes out a lot. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't do as the hypocrites do, right? And this word actually comes from ancient Greek theatre. Yeah. Actors were called hypocrites because they wore masks. And the word hypocrite literally means a person who wears masks. So they would put on a mask of a happy face. They would put on a mask of a sad face. They would put on a mask of the frowning face, the smiling face, the proud face. And it got to a point where these actors were putting on so many masks and were wearing them so often that they forgot what was underneath. They forgot what was actually real. And this is what we can do with our Christianity sometimes. We can come here and put on the mask of a perfect Christian, put on a mask of this spiritual person, and we can pretend to be, you know, that we've got it all together and we've got it all sorted out, that we forget what's real. We forget what's underneath our mask. We put on a smile, we lift up our hands, we serve on a roster. But maybe underneath that mask, we're feeling exhausted. We're feeling like we're not good enough. We're feeling like we're not accepted. And we don't even know who we are anymore. But Jesus is calling us to come to him honestly and without pretending, because he doesn't want to bless what mask you're putting on. He wants to bless the heart that's underneath. When I was thinking about all these things, it reminded me, and maybe it's the mask thing, of the actor Jim Carrey. I don't know if you know him, but he played the mask. I don't actually love him as an actor, but I do remember reading something about him, and so I was like researching him a little bit. So if you don't know him, famous actor, he played Dumb and Dumber, The Mask, a myriad of other things that you should not probably watch. Not PG. But anyway, so let me tell you a little bit about Jim Carrey. Not a Christian, so just to get that straight out the way. Not a Christian man. He grew up with a very poor family. Like, they didn't have a lot of anything. So he grew up not having a lot. Even at one point, him and his family were homeless, living out of a van. And there was probably moments in that where people looked down on him and were like, oh, homeless, you don't have anything, you're not good. And he probably felt that from people. And he said to himself as a young boy, when I grow up, I'm going to be rich and famous. I'm going to be rich so that I never have to worry about anything again. I'm going to be famous because then people are going to look at me like, you know, I'm all that. I'm going to get people's applause. I'm going to have everything I ever desired. And then he said this, and this is what I remembered from him. So obviously he did become rich and famous, and he's got enough money to buy all of our houses. But after all of the fame and money, he said, I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamt of so that they can see that it's not the answer. Now, yes, he doesn't have to worry about money or finances. But if you look at his life, he's gone through periods of great depression. He's gone from relationship to relationship to relationship because he's never found that thing that gives him peace. He's sought from a young age the approval of people, wanting people to say, you know, oh, he's pretty good, he does all right. And he got that. He got all the applause, he got all the attention, and then he goes, it's not the answer. And he's still searching for what that answer is. And that's what happens when we are so focused on being seen by people and not focused on being seen by God. We're left feeling that emptiness, that hollowness, because the only thing that can give us true peace is approval from God, is knowing that we have our God in the forefront of our minds. Sometimes our need for people's approval can drown out our need for God's approval. And we've got God's approval already. He already loves us. He already accepts us, but he wants us to focus our devotion entirely on him. Some of the commentary that I was reading on this really laid this out well. John Scott, this was his commentary, said that there's no contradiction between Jesus saying in one chapter, let your light shine before men, and then in the next chapter, be careful not to do your good works before men. He says that one speaks to our cowardice, so our feelings of wanting to hide because maybe that person won't approve of my beliefs, and then the other speaks to our pride. And he's saying to be careful not to do your good works before men. And the reason that he says there's no contradiction between this, because it's more about the contradiction that we are as human beings. That in some instances we're like all shy and don't want to share our faith because maybe those people, you know, won't accept who I am. But then in another instance when we're around believers, we're like, oh, look at me, look how spiritual I am. And that's why he's speaking, that's why Jesus instructs us to do this. So we're not immune to this because Jesus knew. He knew back then, and it's the same today, it just looks different. In fact, if anything, we are more vulnerable to needing approval from people and needing that to be seen by people. A.B. Bruce sums it up beautifully. He says, we are to show when tempted to hide and hide when tempted to show. We are to show when tempted to hide and hide when tempted to show. And that's what we're saying when we're examining our heart. Our good works should be public so that God is glorified, but our devotion to him, so our good works should be public so that God gets the glory, not so that we get the glory. But our devotions to him should be private so that our pride is crucified. And maybe today God's inviting us to redefine what motivates us. Not by doing more, but by examining why we do the things that we do. You'll notice in these scriptures, it doesn't say if you pray, if you fast. It says when. We're all called to pray. We are all called to fast. We are all called to worship. I was actually listening to a podcast, a speaker that I really like, and he's saying, you know, so many people go, I don't know where my calling is. And I'm listening to this because I'm feeling really like satisfied with my life right now, which is not great. At times you're like, God, what's happening? Why do I feel so comfortable? But I was listening to the podcast and he's like, if you're saying you don't know, you know, where you're going next or where's the next thing, it's like, well, you're all called to be generous. You're all called to give. You're all called to pray. You're all called to worship. So you're all called to that. If you don't know where you're going, well, you're called to that. So you should all be praying. You should all be giving generously. You should all be worshiping God. And so as I was thinking about these things this week, I was going through my own journey of this and my own journey of looking at my motives. Because as I said before, none of us are immune to this. And if you're sitting here going, no, you know what? My motives are always pure. They're always good. Well, maybe a little self-awareness class might be good for you. Sorry to put it bluntly. Because we've all been in a place where we're like, oh, I want that person to accept me and you know, to think I'm pretty all right or whatever that looks like. I was looking at, you know, my life and, you know, how I do it. And it's through things that are good intentions, right? So maybe I'm doing something because I really want to support our pastors. That's good intentions. But God's like, no, I want you to devote yourself to me and do it because you're devoted to me. Or maybe you're like, you know, really trying to encourage the worship team with worship. Well, good intentions. But God's like, I want you to worship me, not encourage them. They're fine. And that's what I'm saying when we need to examine what our motivations are. And it's not to say that if our pastors say, okay, we're going to do this prayer and fast together, and you're like, well, actually, I've got to do these things for God, not for you. Well, they've prayed about it, and God's telling them that as a church, we're going to do it. But it's the way that you approach that. So it's not saying, no, don't listen to the pastors of the church, because everything they're doing with good intent, not just good intentions. They're doing prayerfully, okay? But it's then approaching what they've prayerfully said we're doing as a church and looking at God as the center of that. Devoting that prayer and that fasting to not supporting what the church is doing, but because you want to devote yourself to God. And that's the challenge in this. And this is something that we are always going to be struggling with, and we're always going to be having to examine ourselves and having to test why we do the things that we're doing. And that's the journey I've been on this week. And so my challenge to you is to read these chapters and to look at the different things that Jesus is instructing us to do as Christians and go, well, what is it that you're wanting me to do? Not because the church is doing it together. And that's what I had to come to this week, because we do a lot in the church. But what of these devotions is God saying, actually, you need to do that with God, with Jesus this week and beyond this week as well? And so I've been going through this whole journey myself, and it's been great, and I encourage everyone to do it. But what is something that I did notice throughout this was how much nonsense I consume that is not edifying to my spiritual life. And it's not, again, it's not bad. And this is the hard thing that we get caught up in, because I'm not watching bad stuff on TV. I'm not, you know, reading bad books, but they're not edifying me. And it's not to say you can't watch movies and do these things, but how much of it are we consuming compared to how much of God are we consuming? And that's what I was really shocked by, just that before you go to bed, that scrolling that you're doing, and that's where you see the people doing their routines and what they ate for the day. And then first thing in the morning, looking at that. And then listening to, you know, a murder podcast, because that's my jam. That kind of thing, where I'm like, there's so much of that coming into my life, but where's the room for my devotions to God? And so that's what I would encourage you to be examining and to be looking at this week. I might get the band to come up. My encouragement isn't that it's the small things, it's the little things. So this might not look like for you, and it doesn't for me, let me tell you, sitting in a room for 2 hours every evening praying to God. Let me tell you, my mind would wander. If you are capable of that, I admire you, but that's not what this is. And you don't have to get up at 4 a.m. and worship God every hour. But it's those little things that you can do that go, actually, that time I'm going to devote to God. Perhaps it is you're already going on your daily walk, and instead of listening to some other kind of podcast, maybe you just have a chat with God, because that's all he wants. He just wants your heart. And maybe he just wants you to churn some stuff over with him. Or maybe before you go to bed, instead of doing that scrolling, listen to some worship music or read some of his word. And so that's the kind of things that I've been re-examining in this week and beyond. So however that looks for you, it's not about changing your whole world, but it's just about those little things where he wants your devotion. And then it says in the scripture, your Father who sees what is done in private will reward you, because the reward for that is his eternity with him. That's the rewards for following Christ. So when everything else fades away, as I said at the beginning, The lights, the music, the building, the platforms. What remains is this. Who we are before God when no one else is looking. And what is it that you want that to look like? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We're not here to serve people. It's not our pastors' hearts for you to serve them. They want you to serve God through the things that we do in this church. And that's really what this is all about, is what is it that actually defines you? Is it being accepted by people? Are we striving so much for acceptance from man that we're forgetting that acceptance from God, that we're forgetting that first and foremost, he wants our devotion to him? Every time I am preparing a message, there's always just like one song that like really gets you. And this is why the band is now singing this song this morning. Thank you, guys. And this actually came to me because Elton was pretty much saying the words, I think, without even realizing he was saying the words to the, I think, the bridge of this song. If we could get the bridge up, it's not about... There he goes. It's my husband.